Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast, the Arizona Daily Stars podcast for Arizona Wildcats football, basketball, and more. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley here with Greg Hansen. Greg, before we went on air just now, we were talking about the iPhone X and its facial recognition technology, which allows you to basically unlock your phone by just putting your face in front of the screen, which is pretty crazy. It's like something you'd see in a movie, right?
If this is 2017 and you have that... Mm-hmm. 2037, what's it going to be?
Right, here's the segue I'm looking for here. Arizona opens its basketball season Friday night against NAU with a guy seemingly out of the movies, a guy seemingly made in a lab, somebody who is a physically gift from the basketball gods. That's DeAndre Ayton. He leads Arizona against NAU Friday night. This is a year that is going to be, shall we say, interesting and newsy for them one way or another.
What if Arizona loses a game before the Pac-12 season begins? I know they might have one tough game against Villanova in the Bahamas.
Right.
But otherwise, what if they even have a close game?
Right.
How are they going to find out about themselves?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, going back to last year briefly, I think their problem last year in the tournament loss to Xavier was they hadn't played enough close games. At some point, you didn't really know how guys responded when things got super tight. And you saw Alonzo Trier tried to do it all himself, and Lauri Markkanen went and stood in the corner.
There was a point Sunday when Arizona played an exhibition game against Chico that Alonzo Trier went on a dribbling exhibition, and you could hear a groan in the crowd. He just dribbled at the top looking for his shot.
Right.
And maybe it's just me and the two or three people around me, but everybody just went, oh, no. Is this really going to happen again?
Hey, man, that's what they look for in the NBA, though, right? You got to create your own shot.
Yeah.
This Arizona team is so different from last year's just because every team is so different now with guys being one and done. What's the big question this team has to address in its first, say, week or two?
Division of minutes, I think. Which is as important as anything. Who gets, for lack of a nicer term, weeded out?
Right.
Who
does? Right. And you can, I mean, there is a hall somewhere. It's like a hall of fame. There is a hall of Arizona Wildcats December transfers somewhere.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, it's like the Will Bynum Memorial Hall of Fame. You know, you go down that list, Reuben Douglas, Will Bynum. Even more recently, the guy who left, I'm vamping here, what's the guy's name, went to LSU? Craig Victor.
He's in the G League.
G League. You got Craig Victor. You've got the Temecula kid who's now at St. John's. Justin Simon.
Luke Recker.
You've got Luke Recker, who went back to wherever he was from, right?
Yeah.
Or he went to Iowa.
Iowa, yeah.
Went to Iowa. That is a tradition, a longstanding Arizona tradition, is you weed out a guy by Christmas Day. By New Year's, he is somewhere else. It may be too early to tell who that is going to be. But
there's
going to
be a casualty.
There is going to be a casualty. You can't get this many good basketball players on the same team and expect everybody to play, can you?
Yeah, and as I was watching the first two exhibition games, I kept looking at Ira Lee, who obviously is going to be a terrific college basketball player at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to finish his career here? Mm-hmm. Or to me, he looks like a guy who, Keanu Pinder.
Right. Well, and somebody like Ira Lee, most years, Ira Lee is a guy you look at and go, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, physically, 6'7", 230, big, strong guy. I mean, Bruce Pascoe writes about this in a story that's on our website right now. he wore Khalil Tate's jersey for the slam dunk contest and almost broke the jersey.
Yeah.
He is a big old dude, but you're right. He's a little, maybe he's a little bit of a tweener positionally. Mm-hmm. He does not arrive with all the hype that Brandon Randolph and some of the others come with. I'm going to be really curious to see where that casualty comes from.
Yeah. I mean, you figure seven guys that won't be. Maybe it's easier to go about it that way.
Right.
And the younger guys, like Ira Lee.
Alex Barcelo.
Oh, Alex Barcelo. He's gold.
Oh, yeah?
He's my guy.
Okay, he's your guy. Okay.
He's Sean Miller's guy, too.
He's Sean Miller's guy?
This is the last time I'm ever saying this. Mm-hmm. He's TJ McConnell.
But he looks like Nick Johnson.
He does.
To compare him to TJ McConnell is to say that he looks like a little kid.
He runs like Nick Johnson.
He looks like Nick Johnson. Yeah. And if he has even a hair of TJ McConnell's point guard instincts, he can be a really good player.
Unless Miller usually is very upfront and truthful. And he's been on the Alex Barcelo train.
Right. But devil's advocate here. They don't need him. They don't need him this year. You've got Parker Jackson Cartwright.
Right.
Who seems to have... He's ripped. He's gotten very big.
Yeah.
Parker Jackson Cartwright. You've got Alonzo Trier who can step in and play the point in a pinch. I'm not sure how many backup point guard minutes are going to be available for Alex Barcelo, even if he is the second coming.
Compounded by watching Emmanuel Aycott.
Mm-hmm.
Stud. I mean...
Right.
If you're playing a team that has... him, mm-hmm. you go, he's going to be trouble.
Oh, yeah. As Rich Rodriguez would say, he's the guy you send out of the bus first, right? He's Rondé Hollis Jefferson.
But better offensively.
And a better shooter, yeah.
And you can see he's confident.
Right.
He plays with confidence. Everybody was saying, oh, he'll have to play 2 years here. I'm not so sure.
He's supposed to be a high school senior.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being a high school team in Utah. Yeah. And he was going to a prep school in where? Utah? Wasatch Valley?
Yeah,
something
but they played a national schedule.
Okay. So it's not like they'd be walking into Logan High gym.
No.
Okay. But, I mean, imagine lining up against somebody like that.
Yeah, he's... In the two exhibition games, one of my two or three takeaways was, holy smokes.
Right.
I had no idea that kid was this good.
No. The challenge whenever you get a really good young nucleus together is can they play together?
Oh, yeah.
And I think if there was sort of a fault line in Arizona's 2016-17 season, mm-hmm. it was that when they got Alonzo Trier back, Kobe Simmons fell out of favor, and it became a little bit about Trier and Markkanen and everybody else sort of faded away.
Yeah. When you have a player like Trier, who is clearly, to me, a first-team All-American.
Right.
Talent-wise.
Yes.
But he also demands the ball.
Is he their best player, though? That's the thing. He's a first-team All-American. Yeah, DeAndre Ayton might be their best player. Now, we're judging this off of two games against Pottstown State and Little Sisters of the Poor. But, my goodness, if he's not passing the ball to the 7-1 guy, the problem's him, isn't it?
Yeah, and we won't find out for very long what happens in crunch time because there won't be crunch time for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and especially at home.
Right.
Unfortunately, for all the people who pay the big prices,
mm-hmm.
I'm real curious to see what happens when they get in a close game. Will Trier give it up?
I'm really curious to see what happens if and when Raleigh Alkins comes back.
If and when.
If and when. Again, he's supposed to be out until Christmas.
Or maybe not.
Right. And obviously, there's some eligibility issues that may come to light the more is said regarding this FBI thing. The only thing we really know is that Book Richardson was in on the recruitment of Raleigh Alkins and that tape-recorded conversations indicate Arizona has a current player who took money. It's easy to deduce who they might be talking about, I think.
Everybody else has played.
Right, everybody else has played. Exactly. So to me, I mean, those are the interesting things. Is there's only one ball, right? And even the best teams... the history of college basketball offensively never scored more than 40 baskets in a game. There's only 40 buckets to spread around. And if there's eight guys who think that they should be averaging 20 points a night, we got a problem, don't you?
When I played in the City League in Corvallis, Oregon, a long time ago, we won every game. We were the best team because we had a guy
mm-hmm.
We had a guy who would never pass. Drove me crazy. Drove all of us crazy. We won every game. He would dribble, shoot, and just as you go, dang, we'd go in.
Right.
We've all played with guys like that.
Yes.
And isn't Trier the college version of that?
Well, it sucks the energy from the Sunday morning pickup basketball court when you have a guy who shows up to try to score every basket. I don't know if we've seen enough of Alonzo Trier to know if that's his MO. I mean, he's going to have to prove otherwise maybe in the first month of the season.
He was a different guy in both of the exhibition games. In the opener, he gave it up until the final 8 minutes.
Right.
In the second game, he didn't give it up.
He didn't give it up at all, yeah. We're splitting hairs here. This is ultimately a good problem to have, right? If you're a college basketball program, you sit there and you go, too many five-star players, not enough minutes. How many teams in America have that?
You know, I noticed last year a couple times, because I watched Oregon a lot. I loved watching them. Sometimes Dylan Brooks kept the ball too much.
Right.
And they got to the Final Four.
Right.
And you see it every year. Kevin Love kept the ball too much when he played for UCLA and they got to the Final Four.
Sure. Sure.
And at Arizona, can you remember anyone who you thought Jared Bayless kept the ball too much?
Jared Bayless and Alonzo Trier had something in common, I think. Both of them had a real knack to get to the rack and get fouled.
Yep.
You know, I maintain unpopular take alert here. Jared Bayless, had he played here for 3 years, would have his jersey hanging in the rafters.
Sure.
Because he would have just done that for 3 years, which is head fake a guy, drive to the basket, either hit a layup or get fouled. Not enough players in college basketball have that instinct. And Bayless and Trier, I think, are two of them.
What's the most important play in college basketball? It's making the three-point basket or getting fouled?
I think it's getting fouled.
Yeah.
Both lead to 3 points, but getting fouled also hurts the opponent, right? And you don't see a lot of that. You don't see a lot of sort of the natural. I mean, again, this is becoming old guy radio here. When Michael Wright was at Arizona a million years ago, one of the things that made Michael Wright great was that he could go up, get fouled, hit the layup on his way down, hit the free throw, and all of a sudden you've got 3 points and maybe Mark Madsen has three fouls.
Yeah.
That's a good problem to have.
The best player Arizona's ever had, who's not a big guy, drawing a foul, was Khalid Reeves.
Yes.
They got to the Final Four.
Gilbert Arenas got to the Final Four. Gilbert Arenas rebounded and finished as well as any guard I think they've ever had.
Yeah.
You would argue Khalid Reeves. You saw more of Khalid
his
Reeves.
His senior year.
But you're right. I mean, could it be as simple, Greg, as high percentage shots? Is it as simple as when you're playing in football arenas in the Final Four, it's better to be built like a team that can finish inside of 5 feet than a team that has to step back and shoot?
Oh, I would love to look at just the recent record book to kind of make a judgment on that.
Right. I mean, last year's national championship game was such a bloodbath
that
it was almost like the team that finished inside of 5 feet was the winner.
Yeah, unless you're burying threes. I mean, Duke beat Arizona with threes in 2001.
Sure. Wisconsin beat Arizona with threes a couple times.
Hey, off topic. Do you realize that Sam Decker is still barely getting off the bench in the NBA?
Houston Rockets? Where is he?
He's in L.A. now.
With the who?
With the Clippers.
What?
I saw a box score the other day and I went, you mean Sam Decker didn't just step in and bury threes against somebody? That he's sitting on a bench?
Wow. Well, no, I did not know that.
Yeah.
The Where Are They Nows among Arizona basketball villains. Very interesting. Shabazz Muhammad. Never became anybody.
He's an eighth man.
Right. You want to talk about somebody who I watched every game he played in and fell in love with him despite the fact that he was a hateable guy? Shabazz Muhammad.
Yeah.
I like the left-hander. Reminded me a little bit of like a Sam Perkins, maybe. Sort of a step-back shooting left-handed guy.
He lost me the night UCLA beat somebody at the buzzer and he didn't make the shot.
And
he wasn't
moped,
happy.
And he moped, yeah. He lost me, I think, the time where right before the Pac-12 tournament they announced he might have been 5 years older than people said he was. Why is he moving around so slow in the NBA? Well, he's 36. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Real quick, Greg, no need to belabor the point on Arizona-USC, but what was your one big observation watching that game?
That people had forgotten how vulnerable Arizona's defense is.
Right.
Give up 600 or more yards for the third time this year.
Mm-hmm.
And They're not going to get better this year.
No.
They got the same guys. I know they're young guys. Mm-hmm. But they just, they're going to have trouble against Oregon at Oregon and against ASU at ASU. They're going to have to win shootouts, aren't they?
Right. Well, at this point, I think that there's enough of the season has passed that we know how Arizona's going to try to beat teams, right? That there is a path to victory that they have set up. And that path to victory is beat teams 48-45. Mm-hmm. And you need some opportunistic turnovers.
Washington State.
Washington State. You need some superhero offensive plays. Colorado, right? Mm-hmm. UCLA. And you need special teams to improve. To me, the big takeaway from that game, A, was how Khalil Tate, even by making mistakes, had enough in him to give Arizona a puncher's chance at USC.
You know, I was wondering about that. Tell me if you think this is off-key. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in a basketball game at McHale Center against an opponent's not very good, Arizona will lead 71-48.
Right.
And then they kind of let off, and suddenly it's 81-72.
Right.
Is that what happened in that football game?
Might have been. I know that for a span of about 7 minutes on Saturday night, Khalil Tate was the talk of college football, which may have been the first time since when that an Arizona guy was the talk of college football. I mean, he'd gotten them back into that game kind of by himself. I wondered why. I thought they were way too vertical early on in that game.
Oh, man,
Now, and I know that there was probably a game plan there. Maybe if you have the SC defenders on their heels, that leaves a little bit of room for your quarterback to run. But I don't know. I think they were who we thought they were against USC. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I was particularly – I think Tate played better than I thought he would, and the defense played worse than I thought it would, but not by much.
Yeah, and, you know, looking forward – Arizona should roll over Oregon State. I don't care what anybody says.
Right.
You got to score 50 against them.
Yeah.
And then Oregon's going to have 2 weeks to prepare a defense for Tate.
And they may have Justin Herbert back and ready to go.
That's the most important game of the year is a week ago at Oregon. Mm-hmm. A week.
From now.
From now in Oregon.
Right.
So this is just kind of preliminary stuff.
Is it too soon to talk about preferred bowl game destinations? Because there is a matchup that intrigues me like no other.
Yeah.
Last week and then again this week, the bowl prognosticators have had the same matchup in the, whatever they're calling it now, Holiday Bowl.
Yeah.
Is it San Diego Credit Union?
I don't know.
That'd be my guess. San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl?
The Bill Walton Holiday Bowl.
The Bill Walton Holiday Bowl at crumbling Qualcomm Stadium. It would be Arizona versus Michigan. Rich Rod versus Michigan.
If it comes to that point, you think Rich Rod will still be here?
That's a good question. Would he want to play Michigan in a bowl game?
He would never say.
Right.
I would say no. Why would he? That was a failure to him.
Right.
Why would he want to wake up those echoes? I would say he would be very short with any answer about Michigan.
I wonder if, though, so much has been made of Jim Harbaugh, right? I mean, this wouldn't be Rich Rodriguez facing the guy who replaced
him. Yeah.
This would be Rich Rodriguez facing Jim Harbaugh. More has been said and talked about with Michigan football under Jim Harbaugh than any team in America in the last 2 years. You know what Michigan's win-loss record is? Precisely what Brady Hoke's win-loss record was at Michigan. To me, that would be a national story.
Rich Rod could also say, well, look, Arizona's at the same place Michigan is.
Yes.
They haven't improved since I left.
Right. And if the name of the game, and again, Sonny Dykes told me once that he could go down the list of bowl matchups, circle the team that wants to be there more, and win 90% of those picks. You want to talk about who wants to be there. The Michigan Wolverines don't give a good you-know-what about the Holiday. For Arizona, it would be a chance to finish a season. Let's say they finish 8-4, regular season.
Oh yeah,
finish with 9 wins and a win over Michigan in the Holiday Bowl. I'm not sure Arizona could beat them, but I think that they would be the one team happy to be there.
Yeah, and by that time, leading up to that game, Khalil Tate would be the national freshman of the year if they're 8-4. Rich Rod would be the Pac-12 coach of the year.
Khalil Tate would be, I think, the Pac-12 player of the year. If they get to 8-4, and if he just keeps doing what he's doing.
So there would be so much buildup and expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. If Michigan didn't want to be there, Khalil Tate could run for 240.
Wouldn't that be something? Where would you... I'm taking this one step further.
Yeah.
If Arizona were to somehow beat Michigan in the Holiday Bowl, and if Khalil Tate were to do what you just said, let's say he goes 400 yards of total offense. Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot. Would that rank among the 10 best Arizona wins of all time? To beat a traditional power and Jim Harbaugh? I know it's just a bowl game, but...
Oh, in a year they were picked to finish last in the division, and they won 9 games.
Right.
Finished with a win over Michigan.
Right.
Arizona really hasn't had 9 great victories in history.
No. And it's so easy. And this is what one dynamic player does, right? I mean, one dynamic player allows you to dream a little bit.
Yeah, that's good.
And it allows you to take him for granted because you go, well, he'll probably just do it again. And so if that's the case, who does what he does?
Yeah.
He made some very big mistakes against USC, but still pretty much single-handedly had Arizona that close for a stretch.
And their defensive preparation worked so well against him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they had the athletes to do it.
Sure.
Oregon won't.
No.
ASU won't. Mm-mm. So maybe there's a book out now among defensive coordinators how to stop Arizona.
They've played 4 or 5 very different teams with very different sets. And Khalil Tate's had success against most of them.
Yeah. The fact that he ran for 161 yards against USC and wasn't happy with his performance.
And cried on the field because they lost.
Yeah.
He's interesting. I mean, if his health can hold up, and who knows if it can in this offense. If his health can hold up and if he can finish the season the way he started his season, he's a Heisman Trophy candidate next year.
Oh.
At the University of Arizona.
He's on the first sheet. He's on the first 5 next year.
Wow. That's crazy. It's crazy. Greg, one more thing. But before we wrap up here, high school football playoffs this week. Marana, Cienega rematch of their week 1 showdown. I believe Cienega won that game 56-50.
Yeah.
You're going to go, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who do you want to see?
I love watching Marana because it's almost like they're undersized.
Mm-hmm.
They just fling it,
mm-hmm.
and they expect to score 50.
Mm-hmm.
And Siena gets bigger and stronger and more tradition, and they got the number one prospect mm-hmm. other than Bijan Robinson in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Miranda's going to outscore them.
Do you think, bringing this back to Khalil Tate real quick, do you think that the emergence of Khalil Tate has allowed Arizona to keep Jamari Joyner?
Sure. I also think Jamari Joyner has not shown that he's a passer.
Right.
So other schools haven't jumped on him yet.
Right. I mean, but this is a guy who we all thought back in September and October that if he had another good year at quarterback, maybe somebody else would come sniffing around. It's possible that he would want to go play at Arizona now simply because he sees what Khalil Tate's doing.
And there's only now with the new signing period in December, there's really only a few weeks for someone else to get in there.
Yeah. That's crazy. Well, big week, Arizona basketball, football, and even high school playoffs coming up. Greg Hansen, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet.
I'm sorry about Joe Girardi.
Not me.
Not you? You're not a Joe Girardi. We're going to keep going here for 90 seconds. Not a Joe Girardi guy.
Nah, I never warmed up to him. Because, you know, the Yankees were just okay
mm-hmm.
after 2009. And with all their resources, I thought they should have been better than okay.
Okay, so who are they going to hire?
No clue. I read every day trying to find out.
Right.
I was hoping they'd pry Francona away from the Indians.
Right.
But who do you think?
I don't know. You know who's an intriguing name? Familiar to Tucson fans? Al Pedrique.
I saw his name.
Al Pedrique is the AAA manager in Scranton or wherever they are.
In Scranton.
He's developed Aaron Judge and Gabby Sanchez and all these other guys. He never really got a fair shot as the Diamondbacks manager. Remember, he managed for a little bit.
But they gave him a really bad team.
You know, he managed the Tucson Sidewinders when they were really good.
Yeah.
And to me, a Spanish-speaking lifer with a background in player development, to me, is exactly who I would hire if I was running any baseball team.
I wonder if Yankee fans would buy that.
No, well, but they're not going to buy it. You could bring back Don Mattingly. They could bring back Don bleeping Mattingly and Yankees fans would go, well, he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, I know. You know, I feel similarly, even though I loved Don Mattingly.
Right.
That just his years with the Dodgers were so average.
Right. Oh, he was the embodiment of a Dodgers team that always underachieved.
You know, and you know him as well as I do, Shelly Duncan.
Yes.
7 or 8 years from now, Shelly Duncan is going to be a major league manager.
Yeah.
I would love for him to be the Yankees manager because he is all personality and he's a guy who rallies the troops. Mm-hmm. Keep your eye on Shelly Duncan. What if we get off track on that?
What if Tucson's Shelly Duncan was the manager of the New York Yankees?
No kidding.
What if you, Greg Hansen, could say, I know the manager of the New York Yankees?
I know it. And saw him win the state high school championship one day at Sunset Field.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, we should wrap it up. Thank you for joining us here on the Wildcast Podcast. We'll see you next week.